without personnel on the ground, without an airport, with normal security and procedures in place. We are working to do everything in our power to support those flights.
Boosting Afghanistan diplomacy. It's Friday, September 10th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, resettling Afghan refugees. September 11th remembered. A ground zero location. Personal stories from 20 years ago. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is seeking to boost international diplomatic efforts regarding Afghanistan by co-hosting a ministerial meeting in Germany following the chaotic end of America's 20-year presence in the country. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
Secretary of State Blinken is stepping up efforts to get a grip on the situation in Afghanistan, meeting with German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas at Ramstein Air Base in Germany. Blinken acknowledged that planes chartered to bring Americans, their families, and at-risk Afghans out of the country have been stuck at Mazar-e-Sharif International Airport in Afghanistan.
While there are limits to what we can do without personnel on the ground, without an airport, with normal security and procedures in place, we are working to do everything in our power to support those flights and to get them off the ground.
Germany has been a major transit point for Americans and Afghans evacuated since the Taliban took power in Kabul in mid-August. Asked how the U.S. and Germany will deal with Afghanistan's new interim government, whose interior minister is wanted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas said he was not optimistic about the caretaker Taliban government, but added he has to talk with them.
We have had direct talks with the Taliban. Up to now, if we hadn't done that, we wouldn't have been able to evacuate vulnerable groups, Germans, Afghans, from Afghanistan. We still have German nationals in Afghanistan, but we don't have any diplomatic representation in Kabul, Afghanistan. So in order to evacuate these German nationals, we need to have people to talk to on the ground.
As some Afghans prepare to start new lives abroad, a few Afghan women protested in Kabul again Wednesday at the announcement of an all-male, all-Taliban, hardline interim government. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. North Korea shows off horses and dogs, but no missiles at anniversary parade. Myanmar's shadow government announces defensive war. Malaysia High Court rules women can pass on citizenship to foreign-born children. The United Nations says Afghan women refuse to be erased. Meth superlabs said to thrive in Myanmar coup chaos, spilling drugs across Mekong. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found daily. Come visit us at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and our voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. More than 120,000 Afghans are being resettled in the United States. A similar number of Vietnamese were resettled here after the U.S. war in Vietnam. Although many experts are criticizing the chaotic start of the resettlement effort, they see it as an opportunity to make the United States more diverse. VOA's Laurel Bowman has our story.
Tens of thousands of Afghans are either in the United States or arriving soon, following the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan last month.
These evacuees have gone to a second country. Some of them are in Doha, some of them are in Abu Dhabi, some of them are in about a dozen U.S. military facilities around the world.
Adam Bates is a lawyer with the International Refugee Assistance Project, which defends many Afghans. He says the scope of the Afghan resettlement effort in the U.S. rivals that of the Vietnamese refugee resettlement following the U.S. war with Vietnam, and that imagery from Vietnam should have served as a warning for evacuating Afghanistan.
I think many Americans remember the images of, the U.S. helicopter taking off the roof of the CIA annex and the people who were left behind there. So I think that image should have been in everyone's mind, and we had months to avoid something like that. And unfortunately, the message didn't get home, and the evacuations didn't start in Afghanistan until the last moment.
Those Afghans evacuated by the U.S. have come with varying degrees of status. Some are citizens or have green cards. Others have special immigrant visas, and a huge number are called humanitarian parolees. They have no benefits or status. Analysts say Congress needs to enact legislation to provide paroled Afghans with a path to citizenship in short order. This happened with Cuban refugees in the 1960s and Iraqi Kurdish refugees in the 1990s. Many Vietnamese also entered the U.S. under humanitarian parole in the 1970s. Some top Republicans and others who favor strict limits on immigration worry there won't be adequate resources to make sure no potential terrorists are allowed in. Nevertheless, current polling shows a majority of Americans across party lines support the resettlement effort. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, experts from the International Atomic Energy Agency are currently in Japan assessing the pending release of treated water stored at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. The experts say they will make sure the release will be transparent and objective when it begins in 2023. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. All this week on VOA Asia, we have been presenting stories leading up to the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terror attacks. An abandoned strip mine near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, is now home to the largest memorial related to the 9/11 terrorist attacks. VOA's Kane Farabaugh, who reported from the crash site of Flight 93 on September 11th, 2001, and in the days afterwards, reports on how the location has transformed in the last 20 years.
Gordon Felt has made the trip to this remote part of central Pennsylvania too many times to count. It's become a routine visit, he admits, doesn't get easier the more he does it.
It's not, but it's important for me to be here.
Here is the Flight 93 National Memorial. Once a strip mine, now a permanent tribute to the 40 men and women who died here on September 11th, 2001, attempting to regain control of a hijacked aircraft from the terrorists who planned to crash it into the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., hundreds of kilometers away. Gordon Felt's brother was a passenger on Flight 93, and this field where the plane fell from the sky is his final resting place.
It is surreal at times. Early on, it became evident to us very quickly that our loved ones, the events surrounding their death, had historical significance to our country. And it was difficult to reconcile that, to be able to give up a part of our memory of our loved ones to those that would be coming here.
And the 40 passenger and crew members aboard Flight 93 that day did something incredible. They came together, complete strangers, and they made a choice to do something, and they changed history that morning.
Catherine Hostetler works for the National Park Service, which oversees the Flight 93 Memorial Complex. For her, it's not just a job. The events of September 11th are a prominent part of her life since high school.
Yes, I grew up about 10 miles north of Flight 93 National Memorial.
A memorial that has transformed from scene of tragedy to national park in record time, officially designated on September 24th, 2002.
That's only 1 year and 13 days after the event. When you think of other national parks, national memorials, Pearl Harbor, Gettysburg, these places, it takes years for them to become what we consider today a national park.
This is a story that resonates with people still. If it was me, could I have done what they did? It's the inspiration of this story that I think is important that we not forget.
Kane Farabaugh, VOA News, Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Early on a warm, beautiful Tuesday in September, no one could imagine that by the end of the day they would have witnessed a world-changing event and be so personally connected to it. Our VOA family thankfully was not harmed on 9/11, but the event left indelible images in everyone's personal experiences that day. Program host Sarah Williams was at our headquarters, located at the foot of Capitol Hill in Washington.
I was not supposed to be on the air that day. I was actually getting ready to do a meeting, and television was on, and we had heard that there was one of the towers had been hit, and I think most people just thought it was some sort of an accident. And then the second plane went into the other tower, and I think everybody realized we were under attack. So what happened is somebody yelled at me, "Sarah, let's go up to the newsroom."
Producer and studio director Tracy Carter.
Everything was done on the fly. Instead of recording in Studio 29 at the time, we went down to one of the core studios on the second floor. And we did a lot of phoners, a lot of remote lines. I mean, it was really intense. But from a production standpoint, an editorial standpoint, everything went well. But it seemed like the world was coming to an end.
Reporter Faith Lapidus.
I took my audio equipment and I went out onto the mall to get reaction from people. A lot of people didn't know what was going on. They hadn't heard anything about it. I had to tell them what I knew, which wasn't a lot. And then we would get additional information. Somebody would say, oh, the Pentagon was hit by a plane. And once I had information and comments from people, I tried calling the newsroom to report back in, and all the phone lines were blocked or down.
I remember walking up Capitol Hill to the Capitol building where I was a correspondent.
Debbie Tate.
There was a guard standing there, and he said to me, "I want you to leave right now. I want you to hightail it. Get out of here. We have good intelligence that another plane is on its way to this building." And I remember running down Capitol Hill to VOA, and I had sort of an out-of-body experience. I felt like I was looking down at myself. I couldn't seem to run fast enough. It was like I was running in slow motion and thinking there's a plane somewhere up there that's aiming for me and this building. It was really quite frightening.
Features reporter Adam Phillips.
In a way, there was nothing really happening because the inside of the Pentagon was really an inferno where the plane had hit. The press were given the very sort of harrowing scene of standing above the parking lot to the Pentagon and seeing what must have been 80 or 100 ambulances just idling, unable to get in to help anybody because they would get burned themselves if they went in. So there wasn't anything happening, and everything was happening.
Program host Susan Yockey.
The highway, by the time I got out of here, was eerily empty. And I remember driving by on my way home by the Pentagon and seeing the flames shooting up into the sky and the firemen out on huge ladders up in the air. And I could smell the smoke of the Pentagon. And it smelled like paper. It smelled like burning paper. And I'll always remember that moment.
This is VOA National Correspondent Jim Malone. On September 11th, I was sent up from Washington to New York City to report on the events around Ground Zero. People began to applaud the firefighters and police officers who were working down in the site and who were making their way up the highway as well. And it struck me that although it was a terrible time for the United States and the United States was under attack and Americans felt very angry about it, they also had a sense of pulling together, of unity and community, and it was on exhibit in New York City, both for that day and for many days to come.
Beijing correspondent Jim Randall.
I think the most horrifying thing I saw were people jumping out of the building, out of the burning building, 100 stories in the sky. Their situation was obviously incredibly desperate, that they felt no alternative but to jump to their deaths. That's pretty horrifying. And I thought, well, we better find these people and make it so that they cannot hurt us again.
I
As we remember and reflect on the tragic events of September 11th, 2001, we look toward the future. And all of us at VOA Asia wish you a great, happy, and peaceful day ahead.